104.5 The Zone. This is the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. With Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
Just like that, the final hour of the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, is here. With Chad Withrow, I'm Jonathan Hutton. Paul Kuharski is currently on the phone with Mike Vrabel. We'll have a portion of that audio coming your way at 1:30. We're about to hear from John Robinson. Chad, just a couple of headlines out there today. Wimbledon officially canceled. Looking at that on the schedule, that's the first time since the First World War that it's been canceled completely.
I would assume it was canceled in World War II also, but maybe I'm wrong with everything going on in London especially. But yeah, it's been a long time.
That's correct. First time since World War II.
Yeah, but that's another huge sporting event that's going away in 2020.
And you know what I immediately think of is it's another year of age for Federer. I know that's bad of me to immediately think that, but like he's losing a year off of what little time we have left to appreciate him at this high level.
Yeah, well, and at least in these majors, we're going to lose a year with that. Right. Maybe they're back in, July or August. But, yeah, no, you're right about that. Paul also shared, if you can see this on Twitter, if you follow Roger Federer, but him doing trick shots at his home court in what I guess is Switzerland, where he's from, where it's snowing in the mountains.
It's
and
cool.
He's doing between-the-leg shots in the snow. It's unbelievable. It's a great visual.
John Robinson just spoke to the Nashville media as the team does all of its work preparing for the draft remotely. Titans general manager discusses that, depth at pass rush, rationale for trading Casey, and much more. Here's a portion of that conversation that they just had with reporters.
Appreciate everybody jumping on going here today. First off, wanted to say thanks to all of the medical professionals, the men and women that are out there on the front lines kind of fighting this virus thing, the police force, EMTs, firefighters, they're staring this thing in the face every day and trying to fight it off, and we're extremely grateful what they're doing for the American people and people around the world, and certainly people here in our area. So wanted to thank them and let them know that we're thinking of them and praying for them. And then just kind of some broad brushstrokes here. It's obviously been an unconventional off season for us after we left the combine. Got off to free agency and have made some moves with the team. And then we've been out of the building, I would say, for a week, 10 days, probably, whenever that came down. We actually were out a little bit sooner than when the memo came out. So we're working from home. We're doing a lot of web conferencing through the various applications that we can do that. We've got some draft meetings this afternoon scheduled with the coaches, and just trying to do everything we can to try to prepare for the draft and being mindful of a free agency and still working through that a little bit as well. So, that's kind of where we're at. I'm sure you guys have some questions about specific players that we'll get to. So with that, Robbie, let's kick off some questions.
Yeah. Teresa, if you want to give us the first question.
John, as you guys are working through this, how are the preparations for a unique remote draft? Do you try to set up a war room? How do you approach getting that so that when, because right now draft is still on pace to be held, what are you doing to prepare as a team and an organization to be ready to make picks at the end of April?
Yeah, so that's kind of what we're all 32 teams are kind of in the same boat. We have access to our database remotely with all of the draft evaluations, the medical information that we have. There's obviously not a lot of timing and testing data for players that either didn't work out at the combine or didn't go to the combine. there's some guys that worked last spring or ran last spring or got measured last spring that you have to kind of rely on that information. But as far as the draft board and the talks, you know, we talk or we have web conferences daily with the scouts. Coach Vrabel and I talk on a daily basis, you know, just about pods of players that we have seen, and we're working through the draft board. We have a draft board within our database program that I work off of, as well as an Excel spreadsheet of the draft board that we're working off of too.
And just Sharon? To follow up.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry about that. Just to follow up, have you thought about how it's going to work on the night of the draft, that Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Do you communicate with Mike, Amy? You know, do you do it? Do you anticipate it being a Zoom call or just staying on the phone lines? Or have you thought that far ahead yet? Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. You know, we're still waiting to hear from the league a little bit on, you know, exactly how all that's going to unfold, and if we can get back into our draft facility, who will be allowed. All of those things, I think the league is working through, trying to get some parameters in place. And if not, then yes, I would assume it would probably be, you know, Zoom or Microsoft Teams or some type of web based interaction with our staff to try to get through the draft. Teron?
Hey, John. Question for you just in regards to the process with it not being able to get those face-to-face meetings. How much more difficult does that make it to evaluate guys who may have off-the-field stuff?
Yeah, no, that's one of the things that I really look forward to in the spring, is either going to a pro day or having a private workout, or the visits that we're allowed to have here in Nashville. Sitting down across from some, a prospect, no different really than a lot of other job interviews, and getting to know them as a person. So a lot of those questions we're reliant that I can't get answered face to face. We're working through with some FaceTime stuff with some of the prospects, and as well as relying on our scouts and the information that they've gathered in the fall and the respective coaches at the colleges across the country to really lean on that information that we have so that we can, you know, hopefully make the best decision we can for the team.
Paul Gaharski.
Sorry, unmuting there. John, two for you. Is anyone with the organization tested positive for the virus?
Not that I'm aware of.
And hoping you could get into the Casey trade. Obviously, a lot of salary involved there. What did you guys think about the football that he had left in him, and how much was the salary the thing there? And then with the money that you got free there, doesn't appear that you've made any kind of move to use that money. What's kind of the plan with that?
Yeah, I think, you know, anytime you have a player that's drafted to a team that's performed at a really high level, we've got a ton of respect for. I said it in my statement for Jarrell and his family and everything that he did for the organization. But you know, we felt like it was time for us to go a different direction there, and you know, we were able to find a trade partner in Denver there, and then with the money that we freed up, there's a lot of business that still has to be done throughout the course of the league year, and you know, we're ever mindful of that. And, you know, we're working through a couple of guys here, here at the, you know, kind of the end of free agency, if you will, you know, as well as preparing for potential guys that you want to extend later on down the road. you know, as well as budgeting for, you know, your IR players, replacement players if somebody gets hurt. You know, all those things have to be taken into account.
Any consideration there to taking on some of that salary in exchange for getting a better pick?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say we explored about every option on that one.
Jim Wyatt, do you have a question?
Hey, John, what was the communication like maybe with Derek leading up to using the tag on him, and is your hope that you can get something done with him long-term before a deadline?
Yeah, you know, we you know, I met with Derek as I met with all of the guys that were whose contracts were going to be up at the end of the season once we were done playing there. Told him we were going to start working on that, which we did. At the end of the day, we couldn't come to, you know, an agreement on that one. So, you know, we used one of the avenues, you know, to keep Derek, because Derek's an important part of our football team. And, you know, I've spoken to, you know, his representatives after we used the tag, and you know, we want to continue to have those discussions and those back and forth in hopes of reaching some type of long-term agreement. And you know, we'll kick those conversations off again here, you know, probably before the training camp gets ramped up and going.
John Glennon.
Hey, John. Wondering if you can talk a little bit about where you feel the Titans stand now in regards to free agency, whether you see anything still, significant, if that's such a word, still to come, or do you feel like you've been you've signed most of the players that you're going to sign? And maybe if I could just kind of follow on that, I don't know if you can talk about specifics, but regards to Clowney and Logan Ryan, whether you've had talks with them, and if so, where do they stand?
Yeah, I would say we're you know, we're still working through it. We're looking at guys that are still available. You know, there's some guys that are out there and available that we have had discussions with. There's some guys that we haven't. I don't know that we're done, but I don't know that there's going to be a flurry of moves here. You know, we signed, I'm sure you guys saw, we agreed the terms with Jack Crawford yesterday, and then Kamale Correa last night. So KC will be back with us. But yeah, there's still some things that we're working through. You know, I have talked to Logan's representation there. I would say there's nothing imminent in the works. And we have touched base with Connie's representation too, and just kind of seeing and trying to navigate and work through where that one might be.
Zick, could I get you to follow up on that last one?
Sure.
Yeah, just in terms of Clowney, I know he's a guy who's coming off of surgery, obviously, and that's got to be important when you're thinking about a contract. How vital is that? And you know, have you guys been able to get a sense of where he stands physically?
I mean, it's just through talking through with the agent. As far as for, you know, actually getting a medical report on the player, you're not going to have a medical report on the player until he sees your, you know, until he sees your team doctors. So yeah, but I would say that there's nothing more important than the health of the players. You know, their ability to go out and play for 16 games is important, or at least the games that they are healthy enough to play in that they're impactful. So that's definitely an important part of the decision when you're looking to sign somebody.
Terry McCormick.
John, got a couple here. First of all, going back to the draft and the evaluation process, how much more, with the way things are, do you have to rely on what the scouts have brought to the table from their evaluations in the off season, and also just what the game tape shows of a player, since you won't have the chance for many measurables or face-to-face meetings?
Yeah, I think we always try to weigh heavily on what our, you know, our scouts' opinions of the players. That's why we send them out on the road. That's why we have them go visit with the coaches and trainers and strength staffs at their respective schools that they're in charge of. So they're in for information and their input into what the player would bring to our football team is vitally important. But yeah, I would say that, and to the second part of your question, we try to not get enamored with the measurables or the testing results of players. I generally watch the film and watch the game tape and determine if they're try to determine as best as possible. Not that I'm always right. If they're good at football and what role they would have on our team, and then you know certainly the measurables, it can lead you to you know either justify your feeling of the player. If you need the guy's a really fast player and he runs a fast time, then you're like, all right, well that one looks right. But if he looks like he plays fast but he runs slow, timing wise, then you know which do you lean on? I tend to lean on the tape more than I do the numbers. So I would say the lack of that data isn't paramount, but it's always good to have that. But it's a situation that all 32 teams are in. So I would say that all of us are dealing with the same thing, and we'll work through it accordingly.
And then my second one is this: in terms of back.
I thought that was too, Terry.
Oh, was that too? I'm sorry.
I'm messing with you. Go ahead.
In terms of looking for a depth at quarterback and running back, what are some of the options that you'll have to explore in that regard?
Yeah, so you know we've got obviously getting Ryan back here. That was big for us. You know Logan Woodside has done a nice job for us. He had a little procedure last year, ended up going on the practice squad reserve. But yeah, I mean, we'll look to the draft and you know see what the pool of free agents is like. But you know, Logan's done some good things for us, and he'll get a chance to compete with whoever else we bring in here. And then I would say the same thing at running back. You know, there's some guys in the draft that are they have some you know skill sets that are would be very complementary to Derek. And you know, we've got Dawkins who's played for us and Wilson, who did a good job for us on the practice squad. So those guys will compete for a spot. And then, you know, there's still some guys in free agency, too, that we're kind of looking at and seeing if they might have a role for us.
General Manager John Robinson, you heard him there with the local media. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll hear from Head Coach Mike Vrabel and get his thoughts on some of the same topics, but from the coaching perspective on making sure his team is prepared for training camp and beyond as they come out of the COVID-19 pandemic, or at least we hope that's the case. As of right now, the draft is on 4 weeks from tomorrow. So we'll continue that discussion, recap a bit of what we heard from Robinson, and then we'll toss to Mike Vrabel's teleconference with local reporters next. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone.
As your workday winds down, dive into sports with a 3HL. Powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Weekdays 2 till 6 on 104.5 The Zone.
It's the Midday 180 queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone. Edley's Barbecue, authentically Nashville and locally owned. You know of Nashville Hot Chicken. Edley's now serving Nashville-style hot pork. They have Bushwhackers, which you can now get delivered to your door. Edley's cocktails and beer to go. Bushwhackers, bourbon, tea, beer, and more. All available for carryout. Take home lunch or dinner with your favorite drinks from Edley's. 615-942-7499. 942-7499. Glad you're with us. David Reed, the chairman of the board, making it happen and turning around the audio quickly for us with Titans general manager John Robinson. Coming up, we'll hear from head coach Mike Vrabel. We do want to pass along the Titans have signed linebacker Kamale Correa to a one-year deal. That's worth up to $3.5 million. That's key for their overall depth. Correa was a very good effort guy. And I know that comes across as cliche, but Vrabel made a point to mention Correa's effort and hustle game after game after game in some of his post-game comments and Monday reflections on the previous tape and how things would go there. So Correa originally added to the team in a trade from 2018 with Baltimore. They bring him back on a one-year contract. And, Chad, they didn't downplay the discussion with Clowney. Clowney, according to reports, has dropped his asking price, which he's going to have to do. If the initial reports were $20 million, no one's taking a bite of that, and he's going to drop it down. And the Titans continue to be mentioned as a team interested.
Well, and I know in a lot of national writers, I even saw pick up some of the quotes and say, this is another team that's basically confirming some level of interest in Jadeveon Clowney. And I took it the same way, that they are certainly doing their due diligence with it. They want him if it's at the right price. They don't want him, you know, at any cost, obviously. And they want to know the medical history, which John Robinson talked about. The importance of, not just the importance, it's the most important thing, the health of a player, especially one with his medical history, and needing to get to the bottom of that. But I took everything being said, Hutton, as they are certainly players for Jadeveon Clowney and definitely interested.
Yeah, for the right price, and I think a lot of teams are feeling that way. The most difficult part of it is the medical history with Clowney. And with this offseason and just how strange it is to just go get a physical done and get it done by the personnel and the doctors you want to facilitate that for you as an organization with the investment you're going to make, it's tough to sign a player like him because on a routine basis, he's on the mend. Now, the year that Vrabel was calling plays in Houston, he had his most productive season, and he stayed healthy. And I believe Vrabel will get to that in a moment. But it's interesting to compare that year to the rest of his career. He's even on the mend some with what happened in Seattle this past season. An interesting poll question that you passed along to me from Austin Price, and I tend to agree with you. He's like, "What? How did he word this as I pull this up? It was,
if you had an
afternoon to hang out with someone, who would you choose? And it's two options."
Yeah, given, and this is from Austin Price, credit where credit is deserved. Given an afternoon to hang with, who would you choose, Joe Exotic or O.J. Simpson? These are the types of pick-your-poison questions that make the world go round. We're going to retweet that from Midday 180. We should discuss this thoroughly at some point and give our answers. And I got to be honest, maybe this is a bit of a shocker for some people out there, but I'm kind of leaning O.J. Simpson on this poll question.
I have one reason why I would lean that way, and we can get to that coming up. But when we come back, Mike Vrabel discusses how he's monitoring workouts and player fitness right now. He admits he's not good at working from home, what he hopes for fans and their draft experience this year, and he will be asked about the edge rush group right now, thoughts on some of the new additions, and much more. Mike Vrabel next, Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.
During the coronavirus pandemic, we are your home for everything but actual sports.
Fans, due to unforeseen circumstances, the game tonight has been postponed.
This is something out of a movie, and you just don't expect it to happen in real life.
These last couple days have been really hard.
Trades, free agency, and projecting when everything will be back to normal. This is your home for sports as we know them now. 104.5 The Zone.
Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. Chad, how would you describe the view we have of Paul right now on Skype as we get ready to hear from Mike Vrabel?
Looks like a very diligent man. He's working hard on whatever he's doing. We got the left side of his head right now. Looks like he's jotting down some notes. He's a very professorial look about himself.
Oh, now the hand is on the mouth.
Down on the end of his nose. That's what we're seeing right now from Paul.
Well, we'll hear some questions from Paul during this conversation with Mike Vrabel. Here is Titans head coach Mike Vrabel with the media via teleconference.
Good afternoon. Hope everybody's safe and taking care of your loved ones like I am trying to do and so many others. The COVID-19 pandemic has made this time very scary, very real. I want to stress how important it is to stay at home and stay healthy and safe. Do everything that we can. Individually and as an organization to try to spread that message. It's just something that needs to be taken very seriously. Something that I don't know if we're ever ready for, but we have to adjust to every distraction and make sure that we're doing everything that we can as a team and as an organization to make that as safe as it is for our players and our employees. You know, acknowledge our heroes in the hospitals. I think that as a society and, you know, as a team, if we can exhibit the same type of courage and commitment that those people are right now, I think we'll all be, you know, in a much better place. I've been in contact with our players and trying to make sure that they're keeping their families safe and healthy, and also trying to do the best that they can and mentally and physically prepare themselves for an off season here that's going to look pretty different. We don't know what that is, but it's going to be different, and we'll adjust to whatever that may be. So I appreciate it. Looking forward to talking to you guys, and we'll go from there.
So, Teresa, if you want to get us started.
Mike, glad that you're
– Hi, Teresa.
Hope you're doing well and keeping your family safe. With this unknown, as you know, you've been able to keep so many players on this team, but with the draft coming at the end of the month, what are you trying to do to make sure that players – the off-season program would have started in a couple weeks. How do you make sure that they work out to the specifications of Todd and Frank and stay healthy? And how do you maybe communicate that once you have new players that join the team?
Well, Teresa, I don't worry. I don't have concern about what these players are going to look like physically. I believe that self-motivation is the core to any team success. And I know and I'm positive that we have self-motivated players that will be doing whatever they possibly can right now. And we're also, whenever we get them back and we see them physically in our building, whenever that may be, Todd and Frank and I have already talked about, you know, making sure that there's some level of evaluation or physical evaluation, that we're just not throwing these guys in. I know that the health of the team is the most important thing. Some guys will have access to more in-home equipment, or maybe they own a gym that they're the only, you know, I mean, whatever the situation may be. But we're going to be conscious of what their level is when they come back in. We're also working through what that may look like to remote or digital or virtual learning, to try to make sure that our coaches are the best possible teachers in this time. And making sure that our players can have access to the information that we would normally present them with when we get back to the off-season program, whenever that may be.
Teron?
How's it going, Coach?
Good. How are you guys? You hanging in there, Teron? How's your daughter?
Yes, sir. Yeah, all three of them are doing well. So I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned self-motivation, and with bringing Vic Beasley in, obviously it's a clean slate, but that was one of the things that kind of he was tagged with in Atlanta. How do you feel that you could help push that self-motivation and get him back to the guy that he was when he led the league in sacks?
Well, I mean, that's our job, is to have a vision for the player and coach him and hold him to a standard that's expected of our players. You know, I'm not going to comment on what was done or what wasn't done in Atlanta. We're focused on moving forward, you know, with Vic, with a skill set that we like, with a player that can run and has some speed, some explosiveness, some versatility, we believe. You know, and then that's what I'll do. That's what Shane will do. That's what Matt Edwards will do. And, you know, there'll be a lot of people involved in helping him still continue to develop and try to find a role for us and ultimately help us win.
Paul Kaharsky.
Hey, Mike, can Zubnar play linebacker? Can Sombrello play guard? Are those guys versatile that they can do more than they came in having done where they were?
Well, you know, and I think it's important when you talk about, you know, special teams or that position that you're referencing, Nick, you know, we're going to coach him. Like he's going to be in a linebacker meeting, and obviously he's going to have to be able to go in a game, much like all our other players that are going to be a backup. And that's probably where he's going to start. You know, he's probably going to start out as a backup linebacker, but that you can't just be a special teams player. You don't have enough roster spots, and I know that they're going to expand some of that stuff, but that's what they do. And if somebody goes down, and my guess is that the best ones that we've had, whether that be in Houston or here, are guys that can go in there and play both spots. You know, they're a premier special teams player, and that's their first role, but they can also, you know, back up at either inside linebacker spot. And so we coach him as such. You know, I don't think we can paint him as, hey, you're never going to go in the game as a linebacker. Whether he's gotten that opportunity or not, my thought process and our coaches will be that, you know, we'll coach him and he'll learn our defense, and you know, we'll see, just like everybody else, what that looks like when he gets out there. Ty is a versatile player who's played guard in this league, played tackle in this league, and so those are, you know, scheme fits that's familiar with the system, and somebody that we looked at last year potentially, but you know, didn't end up working. So we know where he's been and what he can do, and so I think there's some versatility up there that we covet when you talk about being able to play more than one position.
John said you've been in touch with Clowney to some degree, based on your experience with him in Houston, and kind of picking up on what TD said about Beasley. Can you speak to his work ethic and maybe to his health issues that you saw while you were down there?
You know, first of obviously the health issue, that's not for me to decide. I know that when I coached JD was prepared. We did a lot with him. We had a lot of injuries 1 year. We put him in a lot of different places to try to help us affect the game. And then he played extremely hard. You know, when he played extremely hard. And I'm not sure if he missed any games that year or not, but you know, we put him in a lot of different places. We asked him to do a lot, and he did do a lot for us. You know, and so never had an issue with any of JD's effort on the field.
Tim Wyatt.
I hope you're doing well, Mike. I guess we're dealing with so many uncertainties here with the virus and when the return might be, but how much more difficult is it going to be for players to get better if you're limited to just maybe a training camp with them this season?
I mean, that's what it'll be. If that's what it ends up being, Jim, you know, we don't complain. We don't we try to figure out what the situation is, and we're going to make the best of it. We're going to be creative with whatever the rules are and whatever's best for our players. That's what we're going to do. We talked about last year. There's certain times where you have to try to improve as the season goes along without some of those reps. And so, you know, that's if whatever they say, we can get on the field or we can't get on the field. And, you know, we're going to try to make sure that our players are as prepared as they can possibly be when that time comes for them to, you know, come back to our facility or engage in conversations with our coaches remotely.
And just to follow up for me, what is that like, a guy like yourself who's so hands-on with coaches? What's it been like being away from them, having to deal with them maybe virtually this offseason?
I've realized that I probably am not a very good person working at home. You know, that's something that, you know, you take for granted, the ability to be able to do that and not have that interaction in different meeting rooms with your coaches, especially with the players. You know, when they'll come back, and they weren't due to come back till April 20th, but and I think you take for granted those men and women that work from home. But it's been good. We've been able to meet. We've been able to see coaches in their homes. John and I talk just like we do when we're in the building often. And I think everybody's just kind of working through that and trying to stay focused on what we need to do to improve and have our players ready to go mentally from a playbook standpoint in all three phases, and then also making sure that the draft prep and the conversations with the players and the coaches' opinions are heard.
That's Titans head coach Mike Vrabel speaking with the local media. Coming up, we'll give our thoughts on what we heard there and certainly discuss with Paul his question about Jadeveon Clowney and how Vrabel addressed that. That's next on the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone.
The 3HL Talks Titans with Jim Wyatt, presented by Accurate Mortgage. Tuesday afternoons at 3:30 on 104.5 The Zone.
Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. Paul, your thoughts on Vrabel's comments about Jadeveon Clowney?
Well, I think it probably fuels a whole another level of interest. And look, I mean, that's on me. Robinson, I thought, was you guys probably heard Robinson on Clowney. It was kind of an afterthought mention almost, you know.
You said they called. Yeah.
He went from saying, like, yeah, we've talked to some people and other people we haven't talked to. And then, we've talked to Logan Ryan and Jadeveon Clowney's reps. But I felt compelled to ask Vrabel, because Vrabel's worked with him, you know, what did you think of his work ethic? What did you think of his injuries? And, of course, he gave a rave review, as most coaches do, of guys who played well for them. And so that'll probably fuel people. I saw Diana Rossini had a report that said he's come off his $20 million a year to 17 or 18, which is, you know, I guess for him, he considers big movement. But for others, that's not significant enough. I thought, too, it's interesting.
That number has been out there. That's not breaking news today.
Yeah, I agree. The other thing I found interesting was that, you know, while Robinson was enthusiastic that, you know, Henry, through his representative, has said, you know, I want to be there and I want to keep talking about this deal. And Robinson said, we want to keep talking about this deal, too. He kind of said, you know, we'll certainly revisit it or resume the conversation, certainly before training camp. Well, the deadline to have this conversation is July 15th, and training camp usually starts, you know, within 2 weeks of that. So, I mean, he gave a vague timeline, but he certainly didn't make it sound like it's pressing, which I've said all along. They don't race to get back in that, but not giving himself a hell of a lot of time. And it's not going to be an ongoing thing like from now right up until that deadline.
And the news today is Kamale Correa is back under contract, which is good.
I love that signing. And, you know, they both talked about liking their edge group. I think edge, listen, you and I and virtually everybody know they need a big-time, standout, demand-a-double-team edge guy, a Javon Kearse. We also know that guy's not out there. You know, if you get him in the draft, it's a miracle. You're certainly not finding him at 29 unless you really stumble into something fantastic. He's not available in free agency. This is probably the edge group, and I think we could probably take edge off the list at 29 unless they really stumble into something.
It's going to be tough to find that guy at 29 unless you're moving up, and we don't foresee that happening unless they're packaging a lot together. Big thanks to Doug Matthews, Dr. Bill Schaffner, Greg Cosell for joining the show. All of that is podcasted, and all of the show now podcasted hourly. You can check us out midday180.com, 1045thezone.com, and you can check us out wherever you download your podcast. We are back at it tomorrow with Coach Mack and Michael Kist and Brandon Wright and much more on the program tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Don't block the box. Do lock the locks, but bring the dog in first.